Church, and good morning again, Mike.
Good morning. How are you doing, Dr. Jim?
Sir, I'll tell you what, I'm just doing absolutely fantastic, and I'm just anxious to get into the study again of your book, Tolerating Tyranny. I'll tell you what, says Mike, is Ed says you're pretty low, so I'm going to raise your volume up again, and just text me again, Ed, if we're okay now, because I've just raised him up. But Tolerating Tyranny, Mike, it looks to me as though we've got a lot of that going on that's just manifestly open regarding what our government's doing today. So I'm grateful, really, to have you here. So why don't we do this? Why don't you pray for us? Pray for the program, and then we'll get right into the study. And you saw in the notes that I sent where we could start in Romans chapter 13, verse 1, and move on from there, pal. So why don't you go ahead and pray for us, and we'll move on.
Father, we thank you for giving us another day. We don't want to take even one day, not even one moment, for granted, because we recognize that's a grace gift from you. And we're discussing the issues of our country, and we recognize they're far beyond our ability to be able to repair. We completely depend upon your revelation to us and your power and your word. So we pray that you will help us to have open minds, that we will be able to trust you all the more, recognizing that you have the solutions. You always have, even before eternity passed. And that we will do what is pleasing in your sight every day, that we might bring you glory. And we pray it in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Mike, among others that are already logged on with this, we've got Daryl and Nita Anderson, our missionaries from Mindanao, and they're back in the United States in Denver, Colorado, spending some time with a daughter there before they go up to North Dakota. But they're on with us, and this may be the first time they've had an opportunity to hear this particular program, so we welcome them. We welcome them to the program this morning.
So, I want to just pick up on what you said before we began.
Okay.
And, about it. It's stunning how it seems like every day there's a new revelation.
Yes.
Of things that have been revealed, how the government is doing things that are greatly concerning the people. I don't know if you are aware of the facility that they're building up in Utah.
Yep.
I heard more information about this last night, and it said that they now have the capability to capture and retain every phone call, that is the data, from every phone call, every email, every website a person goes to, all the surveillance cameras for not only the people in the United States, but everybody in the world.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. And you know, I'm considering the possibility of getting rid of all my external hard drives. I'm just going to get rid of all of them. I think I'll keep what I have, but I'm going to get rid of all my external hard drives and forget about backing up anything. Because if in fact something goes wrong, I'm just going to call Obama and ask him to restore. But, excuse me.
Well, the scary thing is they're asking us to trust the government.
Oh, yeah.
That they're not going to use this capability that they have now in a way that is going to invade our privacy.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how many people will think, oh, yeah, well, we need to trust them, that they will never use this for ill. It's just amazing the technology that they have now. And the capabilities that they have developed in order to use it as Big Brother. Mm-hmm. Was it George Orwell in 1984?
Yeah.
Is upon us.
Yeah. Well, you know, I it's just my mind is boggled, Mike. Last night I heard Pat Caddell. And two others that were on Fox News talking about what's going on now. And Pat Caddell made a statement that I think is absolutely correct. You know, the government's they're taking all capturing all this data on you and me and others out here, and they're that if they can't seem to get to the bottom of Benghazi, the AP scandal, the IRS scandal, they don't seem to be able to get to the bottom of that. And someone asked the question, why aren't the Republicans in Congress, the supposed conservatives, why aren't they outraged? Why aren't they doing something about it? And here was his assessment. And by golly, I've thought this for a long time. Even the Republicans, for whatever reason, they are in the tank. They are in the tank with Obama and all that's going on now. Well, you know, whether it's personal things they don't want to drug up, I don't have any idea why. But they are in the tank, brother, and I have no doubt. Greta Van Susteren just nails these people to the wall as an attorney. She gives them options and tells them what they can be doing, but they're not doing it. So, you know, I think it's just a picture of the time that we live in, Mike.
They're all about political expediency.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Well, let me go on.
Sure.
Since we have a few folks that might not know where we are,
mm-hmm.
You asked me to go to the portion in my book that had to deal with the scriptures that deal with the relationship between believers
yes.
and the government. And the most specific ones that I'm aware of is in Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've covered the first, well, I guess we're still in the process of covering the first verse
yes, sir.
Of that chapter. And I guess I'll read it.
Okay.
excuse me. Let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. And I've been emphasizing the fact that this is just a very general statement that essentially all authority comes from God, and we've talked about that, the meaning there, meaning all legitimate authority
yes.
comes from God. And what we're going to pick up today is going to help highlight the fact that these scriptures are talking about a man being under God, and when you have a legitimate government that is operating as a minister of God for good,
mm-hmm.
then we are required to submit to it.
Mm-hmm.
But what a lot of people don't realize is that they just gloss over the fact that the Bible calls them ministers of God, which means they are subordinate to God as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we're picking up today. We're going to talk about the Constitution. Actually, we don't have a person that is like a king or someone like that over our country.
Mm-hmm.
The highest authority in our country is the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we're going to pick it up, if you want me to go ahead.
Sure,
and
absolutely,
see.
Right, yeah.
Okay, starting where it says, any nation or individual who ignores the Bible and defies God suffers horrible consequences. Mm-hmm. Likewise, the people of the United States suffer when they allow their government officials to ignore and defy the Constitution.
Hmm.
So there's a double layer there. We're all subordinate and answerable to God, and that includes those who hold office in our government. And they are not only under God, they are under the Constitution as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so the next paragraph... Our founding fathers designed our country to be under the rule of law established in the Constitution, not under the rule of men.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to stop there for just a moment because I want to reflect on and ask the folks that are listening, would you assess our government operating under the rule of law or under the rule of men? An example of how we have forsaken the rule of law and followed the Constitution is when there was the fiscal year coming to an end and they could not agree on a budget, and they decided, well, what we'll do is they formed a committee of the Super 8. Do you remember that?
Yes, sir.
And when that happened, what I was thinking is, where in the Constitution does it give them authority to do such a thing? This is just rules made up by men in order to expedite the issues at hand, rather than following the rule of law. We're so far removed from that, I don't even know how they would turn it around.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just an illustration how
yeah.
It appears that we're not following the rule of law, which is the Constitution, but the rule of men.
Well, Mike, I think you've probably forgotten, this is tongue-in-cheek, though, brother, you've probably forgotten that what the Constitution, if the Constitution doesn't tell the government they can't do anything or can't do a certain thing, then they're free to do it. Is that right?
That's the way most people think.
Uh-huh,
you know,
uh-huh.
that can't be clarified enough. It's so important to recognize that those who hold office can't do anything unless it is specifically granted in the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that restricts a great deal. But most people think, well, if it's not condemned, if it's not specifically stated that they can't do this, then they can do it.
That's
that gives so much latitude. And your rationale was a good illustration, because if the Constitution said that they could not do this, it doesn't state that, then they can go ahead and do it, and that is completely erroneous.
Yeah.
They can't do anything outside of those very defined parameters that the Constitution states.
And
it's just an illustration. And once you veer off from the rule of law and it becomes the rule of men, how is it any different from a king or a dictator?
Mm-hmm.
You've lost the rule of law.
And Michael, I think that for our listening audience again, that one of the most fantastic statements that you've made thus far, not today but in the past as we were discussing this, that if the government is violating the Constitution, we have no obligation as a citizen of this country to follow that. We are free to ignore it, to stand against it, but we're not obligated to the government if the government is imposing upon us something that's anti-constitution. Isn't that correct?
Well, yes. What we have to recognize is when those people in office who blatantly disregard the Constitution and go against it, first of all, they're oath breakers, because they took an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution. That would make them liars. Furthermore, they're criminals, because they lied under oath. That means that they're guilty of perjury.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that also means that they are no longer acting as ministers of God for good.
Mm-hmm.
They're no longer legitimate when they do that.
Sure enough.
And so they've broken the contract, and that would mean that our allegiance to them is broken as well. Our allegiance and the submission that God requires, because God requires submission to a government that is operating under His auspices as ministers of Him. And they get outside that bounds,
mm-hmm.
and then some people say, well, you know, they really have a hard time. It's a hurdle that they can't hardly get over. But what they don't recognize is if you start submitting to unconstitutional and many times immoral, many times unjust laws, where does it end?
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere you're going to have to draw a line. Are you going to be complicit? You're going to be on the. You're joining the dark side with them, and that's where people have to realize that God does not require His children to submit to evil, and that's essentially what they're doing.
Yeah. Well, Mike, what does Chuck Baldwin have to say about all this?
Well, let me finish this paragraph,
okay,
and then he makes a good comparison here.
Okay.
When elected officials ignore their oath to abide by the Constitution, they turn that rule, that would be the rule of law, upside down, and we become a country ruled by unprincipled men rather than one ruled by law.
Yeah.
And I have a quote here. Let's see who this is.
Chuck Baldwin.
Yeah, this is by Chuck Baldwin, and he says, "We in the United States of America do not live under a monarchy. We have no king. There's no single government official in this country.
Mm-hmm.
America's supreme law does not rest in any man or any group of men. America's supreme law does not rest in the President, the Congress, or even the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
in America, the U.S. Constitution is the supreme law of the land. And under our laws, every governing official publicly promises to submit to the Constitution of the United States. Do readers understand the significance of this distinction? I hope so. This means that in America, the higher powers are not men who occupy elected office. They are the tenets and principles set forth in the U.S. Constitution. Under our laws and our form of government, it is the duty of every citizen, including our elected officials, to obey the U.S. Constitution. Therefore, this is how Romans 13 reads to a Christian American. And then what he's done is every time that the text says higher powers, he substitutes the U.S. Constitution.
Sure enough.
So this is the way it would read. Let every soul be subject unto the United States Constitution, for there is no constitution but of God. The constitution that be is ordained by God. Whoever therefore resisteth the constitution resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. That would be condemnation. For the constitution is not a terror to good works, but to the evil.
Right.
Well, thou, this must be the King James, I imagine.
It is.
Will thou then be afraid of the Constitution? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For the Constitution is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for the Constitution beareth not the sword in vain, for the Constitution is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore we must needs be subject not only to the wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also to, for the Constitution is God's minister, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is, and fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. And then he ends it by saying, dear Christian friend, this above is exactly the proper understanding of our responsibility to civil authority in these United States per the teaching of Romans chapter 13. So,
agreed.
That's, and we've talked before about the Constitution. I want to interject this at this point.
Sure.
I don't want someone to read this and construe that he is elevating the Constitution above the Word of God. The Constitution is not inspired. It is not flawless. But it did turn the world upside down. Actually, it was the Declaration of Independence by saying, recognizing that our rights come from God and not from a king and not from a parliament and not from a Congress, not from a president. It comes directly from God, and they are unalienable, which means that they cannot be taken away. They can't be the only way that a person can lose their rights is to give them away. They have them. And so I just thought I should interject that.
Absolutely.
What this paragraph does is help people recognize that it's not the people in office who are the highest authority. The highest authority in the land is the Constitution, and I think specifically the Bill of Rights. Those are the ones that the people tacked on after the Constitution was written. And, of course, all of that is under the authority of God. And it's the Bill of Rights that I think has the ultimate authority, because they trump the Congress. First Amendment starts out, Congress shall make no law. And that means if you have the Bill of Rights that are restricting the Congress, then it has to be superior to the Congress. So, anyway, I've been talking a lot. I'll give you a chance to say something.
No, I'll stop you. You're doing good. Keep on going, brother. How about H. Wayne House has also made a statement about this same thing.
Yeah, he says the people themselves are the government in our system. And the true law of the land is not found in the courts or in the legislature, but in the constitution of the federal government, in the constitutions of the several states.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, again, if we are a country that is ruled by law and not by man, then that superintends that there's going to be someone superior to those who hold office.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people are somewhat disillusioned, thinking that when a person holds a de facto title of power in office, that they are the highest authority, but they are subordinate to the Constitution and to God. That's what I think a lot of people are missing.
Yeah, well, Mike, in your estimation, you've probably given some thought to this. You may not be going to say what is on my mind, but what I'd like to do is get your opinion as to why, when the government is violating our Constitution, every day something's coming up. The question then is, why do we think that the mass of people in the United States are not raising their voice against this violation of the Constitution or violations of it? Why do you think there's no outrage for the most part?
Well, I have a whole chapter in the book that addresses that.
Good.
It's called Keeping the Status Quo.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
One reason that the masses don't rise up and say we will not abide this,
mm-hmm,
is because a lot of people benefit from the status quo the way it is now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they have a financial interest in keeping things the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go too far into it, but I'll give you an example. The people who in foreign countries that receive foreign aid certainly do not want us to abide by the Constitution.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because nothing in the Constitution that grants this country to give away unseemly billions of dollars in order, essentially appears to buy friends, which they're not true friends anyway. And I've never heard a news reporter ask them when there's an issue about foreign aid. I never ask them, where is the authority in the Constitution that gives us the right to do this? Have you ever heard that?
Not at all. As a matter of fact, if you're talking about the foreign aid that, the billions of dollars that the U.S. is about to give the Syrian rebels,
right?
At 11:15, I want folks to tune back in if they have time, because I'm going to ask IQ Al Razuli his thoughts about that, because it's been my impression, my understanding, that we, if by arming the rebels, we are arming the wrong side in this battle.
Well, that's what I'm concerned with. First of all, it was a decision of one man. We're going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, he is the supreme commander of the armed forces.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true.
Sure.
But he does not have the constitutional right to take us to war.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and I understand there has to be some latitude that he can send troops to certain areas, but under certain conditions.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm afraid that I have the same concern that you do, and that is, are we going to be facing the muzzle of these weapons that we are mm-hmm. sending over there? Because even if these, they call them rebels, if they mm-hmm. are successful in overthrowing the rotten regime that is there then, is it going to be the same as what happened in Libya and the Muslim Brotherhood takeover?
That's exactly the issue, Mike, and that's exactly what I believe is going to happen. And while neither side of this battle in Syria is worthy of our time and discussion, these are Muslims killing Muslims, brother, you know?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, and it's but again, to answer your question, there's several reasons. One is a financial benefit from the welfare system that we have
mm-hmm,
today
mm-hmm.
is it goes beyond just even commenting on it. I believe everybody understands how far we've gone down that road, and so people people who receive welfare benefits, people who get subsidies, and it just goes on and on. They have no interest in changing the status quo because it would affect their financial status, yeah. And that's what's number one with them.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned it, so I'm going to just say a few things.
Sure.
I'm not saying that the people who receive the welfare benefits
mm-hmm.
Should be stigmatized necessarily, because they're just taking advantage of what the government offers.
Absolutely.
But my problem is that the government is offering it to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Because
They
have no, they can twist it, but the organic original constitution has nothing in it for the government taking over the problems of the people. It was the churches and the families and the friends that would mm-hmm. step in and take care of that.
Yes.
And that has gone by the wayside because government has stepped in and become mm-hmm. just about everything to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And they're leaving God out of the equation, and government has become their God.
Sure, sure.
So, anyway.
Well, the other thought that I had, along with what you said, I think you're absolutely right about the handout, the people that got their handout. There are millions of people in the United States, though, that don't have their handout. And I think that what's happened there, they become so dumbed down, they don't know what the Constitution says anyway.
Oh, yeah. It's incrementalism.
Mm-hmm.
This has come little by little over I don't know, at least 100 years.
Yep.
That this has taken place.
Yep.
Some of the most dastardly, unmitigated evil took place
mm-hmm.
in 1913. That's when the income tax amendment came in,
mm-hmm.
and that's when the Federal Reserve came in. And I'm not certain on this, but I think it's when the 17th Amendment came in as well,
okay.
With the electing of senators.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
A lot of things happened at that point. So from that, at least that far back,
sure.
There's been little by little, incrementally, impositions on the people and straying from the Constitution.
Yes,
in the people's minds, well, that's not that big a deal. We can handle this, and then the next one comes, and the next one. But boy, today they're coming so rapid fire, it's even hard to catalog.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
So,
Okay,
I'll go on with the next paragraph. The Bible puts restraints on those who God delegates authority, and they are responsible to Him to stay within the limits He has set,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and I won't say there. That's across the board. That's not. Some people understand. Well, husbands have authority in the home,
mm-hmm.
but it's limited.
Yes.
Parents have authority over their children, but it's limited. Pastors have authority in the church, but it's limited. Even in the workplace, the bosses, the ones in charge. Have authority, but it's limited.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
for some reason, people think when it comes to government, well, those limits are off. There's no limits. It's
yeah.
unconditional
mm-hmm.
submission to that.
Mm-hmm.
And what he's explaining is that everyone who receives authority is delegated from God, limits that authority.
Mm-hmm.
And now William Blackstone, which is probably most people have recognized that name, was a great legal mind of his day,
mm-hmm.
and has written so much. He says, William Blackstone, the great legal mind of the 18th century, certainly understood this principle. And mm-hmm. here's a quote. This is from Dr. Andy Woods, wrote a book, Darwin, Evolution, and the American Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say something about him in a moment. Blackstone, like Montesquieu, also derived his political and legal philosophy from the Bible. The premise behind Blackstone's commentaries is that the Creator has revealed fixed principles in nature and Scripture. Therefore, the function of human law is to cooperate or operate in harmony with these fixed principles rather than operate in rebellion mm-hmm. against them.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we're talking about is not something that just has come upon people as of late. People were struggling with these issues long in the 18th century, 19th century, 20th, now in the 21st. Mm-hmm. And this is a great legal mind that is the go-to books that he's written in the legal field. And he recognizes these fixed principles that God has set. Now, I want to say something about Dr. Andy Woods. He's a friend of mine. He's the pastor of a Bible church in Sugar Land, Texas. And this book that he wrote, Darwin, Evolution, and the American Constitution,
mm-hmm.
is he's explaining how evolution has had an impact on the Supreme Court and the decisions that they make.
Mm.
And what he's saying is that that the many of the Supreme Court justices, not only the ones that are current, but the ones that have come before, were very liberal. And they bought into the lie of evolution.
Yes.
And their thinking goes like this. Okay, when they wrote the Constitution, it was, 230-something years ago, mm-hmm. whatever it was, and man has evolved tremendously from then.
Yep.
And so it has to be a living document because we have evolved to a point to where now we are superior in intellect. We are superior in the way we think. So that gives them license to disregard the principles of the Constitution because now we are a superior society. And I think, and by the way, Dr. Andy Woods is not only a pastor, he's also a lawyer.
Hmm.
He went through the law school and so forth, and in his book, and when I've talked to him personally, he said that the main thing that they teach in law school is precedent, what has gone before.
Yes.
But they teach him nothing about the Constitution. And that just kind of blew my mind.
Is this in law school?
Pardon?
You see, this is in law school?
Yes, in law school. This
good,
is what he
good.
Told me, is that the emphasis is on case law and the precedences that have been set.
Yeah.
But when it comes to actually studying the Constitution and knowing what it's about, it's essentially all but non-existent.
Man, it's like going to seminary, not being taught to study and to teach by the ICE method.
Right, yeah.
Good.
And even we can see in the Supreme Court decisions, they base their decision on precedents.
Mm-hmm.
What did the courts before them, how did they rule on these issues?
Yeah.
And what concerns me is if you have that mindset, what if way back there was a precedent set and it was wrong?
Oh, absolutely.
It was unethical, maybe it was immoral, maybe it was unconstitutional, whatever it is, then with that mindset, all the decisions that will follow are going to be colored by one that was way back there that got off track.
Well,
I thought I would just throw that in because...
Well, let me ask you this. Since you know Andy Woods personally... it looks to me like that book, Darwin, Evolution, the American Constitution, this might be a man that I might be interested in interviewing.
Oh, he's very articulate. But he's also very down to earth.
Uh-huh, okay.
I have his book. In fact, he signed the cover for me.
Uh-huh, okay.
And he's down to earth, and he is an ICE pastor.
Mm-hmm.
So if you later after...
Sure.
We're done. If you want to get his contact information,
I'll do it, pal. Sure enough.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, somebody else has said something here that you were quoting, and another quote by Blackstone.
Yes. He says, "Thus, when the Supreme Being formed the universe and created matter out of nothing, he imposed certain principles upon that matter from which it can never depart,
mm-hmm.
and without which it would cease to be. If we farther advance from mere inactive matter to vegetable and animal life, we should find them governed by laws, more numerous indeed, but equally fixed and invariable. Man, considered as a creature, must necessarily be subject to the laws of his creator.
Mm-hmm.
for he is entirely a dependent being. No human law should be suffered to contradict the laws of nature and the laws of revelation. So, this is, again, Sir William Blackstone had it right. And when he's talking about natural law, I think that's what the first 10 articles of the Bill of Rights, I think what they are, what they were describing is natural law. Natural law are those unalienable rights that God has given us. And they don't have to be codified. They are true not only for people in America, but these natural laws actually pertain to everyone all over the globe because they directly come from our God.
Well, you know, so, that's interesting, Mike, because if they shouldn't have to be codified, but if they're not, you take someone like the progressive of this day, going all the way back to Teddy Roosevelt in the late 1800s and early 1900s, going all the way back to him, where the Constitution began to be violated. We've got so many people out here who don't believe in God. It's a nominal belief in God. And so to distort those natural laws, to distort those things that we should know. Goodness, I guess all we've got to do is to go to Romans chapter 1. And the invisible things of God that could be known of them were known, but darn if they didn't turn around and worship the creature rather than the creator. And we see the list of sins that came out of that, including homosexuality and lesbianism.
Right. And, well, this natural law that comes from God isn't pertinent only to believers. This goes to every person.
Every human being.
Yeah. And that's one reason, and like you quoted correctly in Romans chapter 1, God says that they are without excuse, those who reject him, because the evidence is all around them, the creation itself.
Yeah.
And even these laws that we're talking about, natural law, even the unbeliever would subscribe to these laws because God has put it in them. They have these rights. They know that they have their rights. Even unbelievers know when something is unjust, when it's not right. They know they have the freedom to worship, the freedom to speak, the freedom to assemble. All these things are universal.
Yeah.
And this is what, who was saying this, this Blackstone, is recognizing this, that no human law should be suffered to contradict the laws of nature and the law of revelation. And people have lost this. We've become an exceedingly legalistic country. I don't remember the numbers, but I remember, I don't remember what book it was I was reading it, but it said that the United States has more attorneys in this country and is more litigious than just about the whole rest of the world put together.
No,
not in the number of lawyers. We have exceedingly more lawyers per capita than any other country. I wouldn't know that it was as many as all the rest of the world put together. I wouldn't think that would be true. But it's that very legalistic mindset that goes against this natural law.
Yes.
So, I guess I'll just press on.
Yeah, press on.
Okay. The Bill of Rights puts limits on those in government and makes them responsible to God and to the people to stay within those limits. So those who are in office have two people to answer to. Well, first of all, they answer to God, but they also answer to the people.
That's right.
And that in itself, we have the tail wagging the dog now because it appears that the masters have become the servants and the servants have become the masters. In practicality, that's how we're operating. It's difficult for some people to accept the fact that our nation has essentially abandoned the rule of law under the Constitution and now operates unconstitutionally through executive orders, statutes, codes, rules, and regulations that have not been enacted into positive law. Positive law is a law where its exact words have been approved and passed by Congress.
Yeah.
So I don't know if did I have regulations in there. There are tens of thousands
yes.
of new regulations added mm-hmm. to the books every single year, and every one of these regulations essentially have the force of law.
Yeah, absolutely.
And mm-hmm. so you have people that there's no telling how many millions, if not billions, it costs to make these restrictions. And of course, we don't even know what they are. But if we do anything that is contrary to these restrictions that have not been acted by Congress, but you still can be held accountable for them and either fined or maybe even imprisoned for them.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. And you know, the regulations, Mike, I think that we've heard of regulations, but I think that what the disastrous thing in this day is where Barack Obama has appointed men and women to be czars over certain segments of our society.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, he appoints them and tells them what he wants them to do, but he doesn't give them the regulations. Those are actually imposed upon us by those czars, and they don't go through Congress.
Right. Well, no, of course not. And you know, I haven't researched this to the degree that I can speak authoritatively on mm-hmm. it, but I need to take the time to research how did the executive orders start? I think that maybe Lincoln had written executive orders, but I don't know how executive orders can harmonize with the limitations of the Constitution, because in my mind, when a president can write an executive order and it essentially becomes the law of the land, how is that any different than a dictator?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. How did it come about? Because I'm not aware of it being in the Constitution. Are you?
No, sir. No, as a matter of fact, I'm just getting ready on my phone. I'm getting ready to call that lady. What's her name? Siri or something like that?
Uh-huh.
And I'll mute my microphone while you're talking. I'll find out when they began.
Okay. Because these executive orders, it's not like a president may write one or two in a crisis situation. Some presidents have written in the hundred or more of these, and they're very detailed, and even some of the executive orders are not revealed. They're not disclosed. We can't even find out what they are. We know that there's an executive order, and they will have a number ascribed to it, but even the press, when they ask what is this about? They say, well, it's classified, and that seems to go beyond the rule of law by any stretch of the imagination. And yet, that seems to be how we're operating today. And that's just on that one part of the executive orders. There's the statutes and the codes and the rules and the regulations. All of them essentially have the force of law, because if you don't have, even though they haven't been enacted into positive law, if you're going to be fined or imprisoned for breaking them, how is that any different from them having the force of law? That's just, I'm not sure. Dr. Jim, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. I was searching an executive order for you.
Oh, okay.
Well, we're going. Yeah, I'm still here. So go right ahead, pal.
Well, maybe we could address that next time and just
absolutely.
If we have time to search that.
Absolutely.
The federal government has grown so large and so corrupt that it makes little difference who controls any branch of it. Extremely rich power brokers can buy nearly any candidate that they want and can outspend all the political parties and individual contributors combined. Any candidate that goes against the establishment, that is, insiders in Washington, D.C., will subsequently be destroyed by the media because it is owned and financed by the liberal power brokers as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's some people may stumble over that thinking, this can't be so. But the more that you do any kind of research, you're going to find that the mainstream media is owned by what I'm putting here, insiders or very wealthy power brokers.
Okay.
Essentially, money is power. And the reason that our news is filtered with this liberal filter that would first of all, it removes anything that would substantiate conservative thinking. You don't even see those events. And the events that you do see are spun in a way that will make the liberal mindset look very attractive.
Mm-hmm.
Usually the people they interview are the ones that have that mindset, and,
mm-hmm.
and that's kind of an outflowing of this idea that mm-hmm. Our government is pure and we should trust
yeah.
them.
Well, Mike, let me ask you a question. When you're talking about something happening at a certain level in our country, and then once it takes place, it got somebody out here spinning it to make it seem like it's okay. Let's take the masses of people in the United States trying to make sense out of all this. And the title of your book is Tolerating Tyranny. I would suggest that the larger portion of people in our country don't recognize what's taking place as tyranny because they have been dumbed down. They don't understand the Constitution. The revisionist history has made it appear to be something else other than what it is. And when you've got these so-called great minds out there that are on the liberal mind that is trying to accomplish something, and it's being done out of our sight, and it's being done behind closed doors and thought about it. And then when something happens and we say, wow, we wake up and see, wow, look what's just happened. And then you hear them spin this, and I'm going somewhere with this. For example, when you see all the degradation that's going on in our country today, and you go to Fox News that's supposed to be conservative, and basically, oh, shucks. I really believe that it is conservative, basically. But you get a guy like Juan Williams. You get Combs on there. And when they offer their spin, I mean, it sounds so good when O'Reilly and somebody else has been very conservative and put forth their argument. Good grief, Juan Williams and Combs come along. And when they rebut, it's almost, if you're not smart enough to understand what's going on, they sound perfectly legitimate.
Well, the reason they sound so good
mm-hmm.
is because people are not independent minded. They have been brought up in government schools, government influence schools.
And you're talking about public schools, right?
Public schools,
okay,
right. And they don't know
mm-hmm.
the history because it hadn't been taught. They don't know the Constitution and they don't know the Bible.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
that's what makes it sound,
yeah.
what makes it sound good, because if you take away the Bible, you take away the Constitution, and you take away schools that actually teach history, then this is what you wind up with. It sounds attractive
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
to a liberal mind that has been tainted by all this. And it's for God holds us responsibility for the volition He's given us
mm-hmm.
in all areas. And it's tempting for some to think, well, let the government take care of it. They have the agencies, they have the policies all in place, it's big enough. Why don't we just let the government take care of us? When a storm comes in and there's people who have devastation and losses, let the government do it. We don't have to bother with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we need to do.
Yeah.
Well, that's attractive to a lot of people. The only problem is it's unconstitutional. The only problem is not the way that God designed it. And the government is in control and has replaced
mm-hmm.
God in all these areas.
Yeah.
It's just a sampling of the, I guess it goes back to the old sin nature.
Yeah.
It's the old sin nature to say, well, to be lazy and say, well, just let the government do it. It's been done so much that we've already read some quotes that illustrate that government has replaced God in the minds of so
mm-hmm.
many people.
Mike, this is what I refer to as old man beliefs. And Frederick Bastiat has made a comment, and he didn't call it an old man belief, but it is an old man belief. It's the belief that comes from a totally depraved human being, where the thought is that if government is involved in feeding the hungry, when you and I stand against the government feeding the hungry, the mindset of man is that we're against feeding the hungry.
Yeah.
But we're
cruel and we're unloving.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. But it's not a matter of not wanting to feed the hungry. It's who's supposed to be doing it.
Right. And when you have the government step in, and real quickly, I'll try to give it a little capsule dose of what this what ends up happening.
Okay.
You have, especially in black families, and I'm not disparaging them, I'm just saying what has happened.
You're okay.
Is that the government has come in with the federal dependent child insurance. Anyway, there's an agency set up, and the government gives money to mothers on two conditions. First of all, they can't have a husband around. They have to be single moms, mm-hmm. and they can't have a job. And so the government comes in and says, okay, we're going to give you thousands of dollars for every year. And the more children you have, the more money you're going to get. Now, what is that a formula for? You're going to wind up with more single moms without jobs.
That's right.
And that's exactly what has happened. But if it was functioning properly, to where women who were in need and was not going to take advantage of the charity that's given to them, then it's going to operate the way that God had designed it to operate, and it's not going to be abused because it's on a local level, or it's even maybe within a family or within a community. That's the way it happens. But when you have Big Brother come in and just throw money at everybody, it gets out of hand. And what you're saying, what I'm saying, is that no, there are single moms out there that need to be helped, but they don't need someone just to come in and help them to be irresponsible. We're to help them, not just become the source of funds to continue in the situation they're in.
Absolutely.
Even when there's a crisis, a flood, or whatever it is, it's the people. I think the people still would come in and they would help others if the government would stay out, but they don't. You know, you've got FEMA coming in and all their rules and regulations throwing money at everyone, and when that happens, the people step out, and that's what's happened in the black families. I think some estimates are 80% of black families have no father at home. Staggering number, and that is devastation, because we just had Father's Day, and one of the things that I was explaining is the importance of the father in the homes, and the father be men. I quoted 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 and 14, I believe it was. And God tells the men to stand firm for the faith, and act like men, and be strong. And then the very next verse says, and do this all in love.
Yes. Well, you know,
but that's not happening today. You're being emasculated.
Yeah. Well, Mike, even just right now, I got a text message from Fox News. The breaking news is this. Yes. That the Supreme Court has overturned Arizona's voter ID requirement. I think the Supreme Court has gone far beyond.
Oh, yeah.
They're making the law rather than interpreting the law. They've overturned Arizona's voter ID requirement. Good gracious sakes alive.
And the people say, well, five members of the Supreme Court can say what the law of the land is going to be. In practicality, maybe that works that way to some degree, but it's not constitutional, because the only thing that the Supreme Court can render is their opinion.
Yep.
And the people are the ones that have are the highest authority under the Constitution. in this country.
Yeah.
And what appears is going to happening, hope maybe will happen, is the states are going to start nullifying these decisions, and the people, the last resort is for people to ignore themselves, and people say, oh, you're preaching anarchy.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm just trying to express the rights that the people have to keep from becoming slaves.
You know, I believe it's probably about 9:52 down there in Texas.
Yeah. Well, I've got on my computer it says 9:56.
Yeah. Well, it's that's what I meant. It's 9:56, not 52, 56. So what you better do is wrap it up, bro.
Okay. Well, let me make a little mark here on my notes so we'll know where to pick it up next time.
Okay.
I'm just so thankful for the people who take the time to tune in to programs like this, and it's my desire, it's my wish, it's my prayer that they will start talking to others about issues that are so pressing. As long as people continue to talk about the score of some ball game, they talk about TV shows or movies, and we're going to continue to spiral in as a society and further into degeneracy, and we're going to lose all of our rights. It starts with people being educated. The low-information crowd, the only hope is for them to be educated, and they're not going to be educated unless other people that they know start addressing these issues and bringing it to the forefront so that something can be done, because it all has to essentially be generated from the people.
Yep.
The bottom line is the people get the government they deserve. And we need a people that are independent-minded, that believe in the Bible, believe in God and trust in Him and quit trusting in government for everything.
You better pray quickly or it's going to be over the 60
Okay, I'll close very quickly.
Okay,
Father, we just thank You for this time that You've given us to talk about these issues that are so vital. We're so thankful for the natural laws that You have instilled in Your creation, and that we have them. We don't earn them or deserve them, but they are there. We just pray that we will help continue to be led by You and trust in You and stand for our rights in a way that would be pleasing in Your sight. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen.
Okay, that's fine, buddy. Appreciate it. We'll be back again next Monday if the creek doesn't rise. And for those that are online with us right now, at 11:15, I'll have IQ Al-Razuli on with us. We'll be talking about Islam 101, talking about contemporary issues as it relates to Islam. And we'll see you in about 11:15.
Okay,
thanks,
thank you, Dr.
Thanks,
Gannon.
Mike. Okay, buddy. Bye-bye now. Okay, folks, I have, in fact, shut down my recording on my end here. And because of a 30-second delay, I'm just going to go ahead and shut down my mic. And if you're able to be back with IQ and me at 11:15, we'd like to see you here, okay? God bless all of you, and thanks for being with me this morning. Bye-bye now.